Good morning. You are now tuned to the CWA Civil Rights Talk Show, An Hour of Power. Now here's your incomparable host, Errol Miner.
Good morning, human rights activists all over the world. Happy New Year to everyone. Happy New Year. Welcome back to Communication Workers of America, CWA Human Rights, Our Power, a justice field hour of talk, solidarity, and worker power right here on KYOK 1140 AM and the all new 106.5 FM. If you are visiting the beautiful city of Houston, you can take us home with you on KYOKradio.org. You can listen to us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, and 10 a.m. Central Time on KYOKradio.org, on the CWA Strong app, or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Thank you for joining us on the CWA Human Rights Hour Power Radio Show. It's about us. That's right. It's about us. Working agreement, solidarity, living wages, worker power, and simply human rights. Honk your horns if you support workers. We have a phenomenal show lineup with Mykia Jones, Sir Reginald Small, Timya Wiley, and Tay today. So don't you dare change that dial. Tune in this morning because we're going to be talking about projection and reflection in 2024 and 2025. We're going to be discussing that amongst all of the hosts. We're also going to try to get down there to our power trivia. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Our union voices are ringing in every district from Alaska to Maine, Texas to Minnesota, Canada to Puerto Rico, because we don't play at CWA. Our union brothers, sisters, and siblings at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette have been outside for 25 months striking on the picket lines, and yet while they're striking, they're still churning out the news with facts for you and me. Let's show our support to them by making sure we subscribe to unionprogress.com. And once you subscribe to this free publication, how about going over and donating to their strike fund? Donate to the strike fund at cwa.org/ppg-donate, because when we fight, we win. We reflect on the extraordinary life of a man whose commitment to human rights has shaped not only the course of American history, but also the trajectory of global humanitarian efforts. Today, we celebrate the life and legacy of Jimmy Carter, the 39th president of the United States, who has proven time and again that leadership is not only about political power, but also about upholding the principles of human dignity, freedom, and equality. Before we delve into his achievements, let us first take a moment to understand the man behind the global human rights champion. Born on October 1st, 1924 in Plains, Georgia, Jimmy Carter grew up in a small, tight-knit community where his values of empathy, fairness, and equality were nurtured. Raised by parents who believed in the power of service, Carter was taught the importance of helping others and advocating for those without a voice. These early lessons would later serve as the foundation for his lifelong work in human rights. As a young man, Carter attended the U.S. Naval Academy, where he developed a sense of duty to his country and its people. However, it was not just the military experience that shaped him. It was his deep exposure to the racial and social dynamics of the South during the civil rights movements that left an indelible mark on his understanding of justice. And Carter's empathy for those suffering under racial inequality would serve as a driving force for his later work as a public servant. When Jimmy Carter took office as president in January of 1977, he introduced a foreign policy centered on the protection of human rights. This was a marked shift from previous administrations that had often prioritized political alliances and economic interests over the well-being of individuals in other countries. Carter's human rights policy was rooted in the belief that the United States should not only protect its own citizens, but also advocate for the rights of individuals around the world. One of Carter's first acts in office was to speak out against the brutalities of the apartheid regime in South Africa and the military dictatorships in Latin America. His administration reduced U.S. military aid to oppressive regimes, including the Somoza regime in Nicaragua and the military in Argentina. Carter understood that American power should not support tyranny, and he made clear that human rights violations should not be tolerated in the name of geopolitical interests. Perhaps most notable during this period was Carter's stance on the promotion of democracy and self-determination. He worked tirelessly to secure peace in the Middle East, overseeing the Camp David Accords, which brought Egypt and Israel together to form a peace treaty that endures to this day. But more than just diplomatic negotiations, Carter's belief in the right of people to live freely and pursue their own destiny was evident in his engagement with global leaders to demand accountability for human rights violations. Although Carter's presidency was marked by significant efforts to advance human rights, his commitment did not end when he left office in 1981. In fact, it was during his post-presidential years that Carter truly became a global ambassador for peace and human dignity. In 1982, he founded the Carter Center, an organization devoted to promoting human rights, advancing democracy, and alleviating human suffering. Through the Carter Center, Jimmy Carter worked on projects that have made tangible differences in the lives of millions. The center has played a significant role in monitoring elections in over 40 countries, helping to ensure that people have the opportunity to choose their leaders in a fair and free process. Carter's election monitoring efforts helped shine a light on corrupt practices, advocating for electoral reform, and helped protect democratic processes in places where the idea of democracy was often little more than a dream. Additionally, Carter's work with the Carter Center focused on public health initiatives. He spearheaded efforts to combat diseases like the Guinea worm disease, malaria, and river blindness, all of which disproportionately affected the world's most impoverished populations. Under his leadership, the Carter Center made remarkable progress in eradicating these diseases, proving that human rights are not just about political freedom, but also about access to basic health care. While Jimmy Carter's work with the Carter Center is widely celebrated, his commitment to human rights also extended beyond the confines of his organization. He traveled to conflict zones, including Sudan and Haiti, to mediate peace talks and negotiate ceasefires. His work in these areas, often in collaboration with global leaders and organizations, was driven by a deep conviction that peace and human rights go hand in hand. As an advocate for global human rights, Carter's influence was not limited to high-level diplomacy or international organizations. He also focused on areas that are often overlooked in discussions of human rights, gender equality, LGBTQIA+ rights, and social justice. In his 2014 book, A Call to Action, Women, Religion, Violence, and Power, Carter illuminated the widespread violence against women around the world and called for global action to address gender inequality. He was a fierce advocate for the empowerment of women, calling attention to the cultural, religious, and political barriers that continue to limit women's opportunities and safety. Moreover, Carter's advocacy for LGBTQIA+ rights and his outspoken support for marriage equality and groundbreaking, particularly during an era when such views were not widely held by political figures. He continued to champion the rights of marginalized communities, using his platform to call for an end to discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and other forms of prejudice. As we reflect on the life and legacy of Jimmy Carter, it is clear that his work has left an indelible mark on the global human rights movement. His efforts to advance democracy, fight poverty, eradicate disease, and promote social justice have touched millions of lives. He has been an advocate for the voiceless and a champion for the oppressed, consistently pushing for a world where freedom, dignity, and human rights are universal. Carter's influence has been recognized around the world, and his receipt of the Nobel Peace Prize in 2002 was a fitting acknowledgement of his decades of dedication to peace, democracy, and human rights. His humility and determination to make a difference have inspired countless individuals and organizations to follow in his footsteps and work for a more just and compassionate world. In closing, let us honor Jimmy Carter, not just for his achievements as president, but for his lifelong commitment to humanity. Let us carry forward his vision of a world where the rights of all people are respected and upheld. And let us be inspired by his example to continue the fight for justice, equality, and human dignity wherever it is needed. Jimmy Carter's legacy reminds us that each of us has the power to make a difference, and that through compassion and action, we can build a better world for generations to come. You're tuned into KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.com or listen to us on your favorite podcast player, CWA Strong app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for us at CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Good morning, Timia. Come on, step up to the mic. And this morning, we're going to hear from Timia Wiley.
Good morning, Errol. It's with a sad heart that I want to speak today about and express condolences and call for unity following the Bourbon Street tragedy. The Communication Workers of America Human Rights Department is deeply saddened by the tragic incident that occurred early New Year's Day morning on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. We extend our heartfelt condolences to the victims, their families, and the entire New Orleans community as they endure this devastating loss. Preliminary reports indicate that a driver intentionally plowed into a crowd of New Year's Eve revelers, resulting in multiple fatalities and injuries. Following the collision, gunfire erupted, injuring law enforcement officers before the suspect was neutralized. The authorities are actively investigating the incident as a possible act of terrorism. This senseless act of violence has shaken the heart of a city known for its resilience, its culture, and its unity. Our thoughts and prayers are with the victims, their loved ones, and the courageous first responders who put their lives on the line to protect others. We stand in solidarity with New Orleans and all of those affected by this horrific event. CWA remains committed to supporting communities impacted by violence and trauma. We call on local, state, and federal leaders to address the causes of hate-fueled violence and strengthen policies that protect the safety and well-being of all people. In the face of this tragedy, we also urge our members and communities to come together, reject fear, and reaffirm our shared values of equity, inclusion, and solidarity. We encourage everyone affected to speak support and remain connected with their local union representatives and community organizations. And I would like to call everyone to a moment of silence. Thank you. Back to you, Errol.
Thank you so much, Timmy of New Orleans Strong. We are all praying for New Orleans during this time. You're listening to CWA Hour Power on KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. Don't forget, you can listen and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast player, CWA Strong app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, Podchaser, and search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. I think all of us are just ecstatic about what we're about to talk about, and that is our projection and reflection on what we have done, CWA Human Rights Department has done over the last year, and where we are going next year, or this year, I should say, in 2025. And we're already on the second day of the new year. So let's talk about what we have done over the last year in 2024. All right, everybody's at the microphones right now. So let's delve on into it. I think we've had some major events going on in 2024. And one of the most exciting events that I did not get to attend was the Human Rights Conference. So I know you guys could talk all about that. I had to live it through the the pictures and the text messages and everybody looking all beautiful and everything. But I had to come back home to Birmingham and march with my fellow Union brothers, sisters, and siblings on the picket lines. So let's start off with that right there, the Human Rights Conference.
It was absolutely amazing. What other words can I think of? It was insightful. It was heartwarming. And I wish that everybody could have been there. Houston, you should have been there if you weren't there. We had some awesome speakers from the Houston area. And we also had some local talent from the local high schools there in Houston. It was impactful. It was heartfelt. And I'm gonna step back for a second. But
well, don't step too far back, Timia, but some of the words that you used were absolutely on point, but you left out wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful, fabulous, all of those things that you mentioned. And you and the theme that we used was no vote is a vote. And we're still living on that today, that no vote is a vote, and how important your vote actually is and the impact that it has, and not to let someone else make the decisions for you. So we have to show up to actually vote. So, of course, our Human Rights Conference was in August. And, of course, with this voting stuff at that particular time, we were talking about one particular campaign that was going on for the presidential, the White House, as a matter of fact. But we still have to press that voting is so, so important, no matter the size of the election, whether it's a local election, a union election. You should exercise your right to vote by voting.
And I want to highlight that, of course, I can talk about the Human Rights Conference all day long. It was like a big family reunion for me. I just felt like I knew everybody. It felt so warm in the room. No matter where you went, even if you didn't know someone, we was hugging and we was laughing. And it's just a beautiful thing to be in a room of like-minded people, to be fighting for the same things. And like I said, it was just like a big old family reunion. Everything that we did, all the dinners and all, when all of our speakers were up, I was smiling from ear to ear. I know all the little side pictures. I'm like, oh, I was just cheesing too hard, huh? But it was a great time. And I think that we got a lot out of it. No vote is a vote was important for us to discuss then. And I think that we did reach a lot of people. I know that a lot of younger people who were in attendance did talk to me about it afterwards. Like, I never knew it was that important. I didn't understand the importance of voting. So I think that our Human Rights Conference this year got a really good message out. And again, it gave me that warm feeling. So that's my thought on the Human Rights Conference.
It gave us a warm feeling, but it was also awesome to see all of the superpowers that came out, even down to the legislators out of North Carolina Senator Wiley Nickel. He came in and he spoke to us about the power and the unfortunate power of gerrymandering. Gerrymandering is something that affects the whole country, and it's not just a North Carolina thing. It's where lines are drawn to purposely wash out votes. That's something that people needed to know about. These are the topics that we had at the Human Rights Conference that were eye-openers for people. We even had a session about how to not work until you die. We had time was had, educational time was had, a time of rejoicing, a time of bringing powers together was had. And a lot of people walked away with a lot of knowledge, and it made my heart happy.
And you know, when you get text messages about people being upset that they couldn't attend, that means a lot. And I had several text messages of individuals who had to be here in Birmingham that were coming, and they were upset. And not only about that, they are still asking to this day, when is the next Human Rights Conference? We want to go. We want to learn. And it's just something that has, you know, just overcome everyone in the air when it came to the Human Rights Conference.
You know what, people, you know, like you said, people are still talking, not even people that weren't able to attend, but there are other organizations and groups that are reaching out to us, asking us about how we put on such a great show. So it was fantastic. And I'm just glad that I was able to be a part of it and to fellowship with everyone. And I think a huge part for me was just the different cultural impacts that we had, from the dragon dancers to the mariachi band to the boys choir. That was fantastic.
Hey, Makia. Makia?
Yes.
You know, we would be remiss if we would not say anything about the master, the master and mistress of ceremonies.
You certainly
would not be remiss.
We don't need to blow his head up. Lord have mercy.
It's a new year, and we trying to move forward. And Reginald is just, I mean, y'all know he is a problem.
If you're gonna look back, look correctly, tell it right.
You know what they say, if you let them shenan once, they'll shenan again. And here we are, Reginald,
with the shenans, all of them.
But on a serious note, it was a wonderful conference. And I mean, I can't wait for us to do it again. It is something that we do with CWA every other year. And we're already in the planning stages, looking forward to 2026's Human Rights Conference. We put a lot into it. And this year we could actually tell. I'm not sure because it was in Texas or because of the great agenda. I think it was a little bit of both, but we actually had a record number of attendees from all over the United States.
Yes.
And so we're very, very, very happy about that.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Just to give you a taste of some of the workshops that we had Knowing Your Rights, and that was about pregnancy accommodations and support for caregivers in the workplace, Hearst Roe v. Wade. And that wasn't just about expectant mothers. It was also about if you're a caregiver, because so many times we have to give care. We find ourselves in a sandwich generation where you're a caregiving, but you still have to work. And you just don't know you're right. You're looking at having to work or not work and not get paid, but you still have to take care of your parents. So that was a wealth of information that we got there. We also talked about addressing systematic racism as a workplace health and safety issue, because systematic racism is a workplace health and safety issue, whether you know it or not. That was a huge eye-opener for me. It was a light bulb moment for me. It was one of what Oprah says, it was an aha moment. It was powerful. We also had a look at Beyond the Border, what it's like for people when they come to America. What is their life like becoming American citizens? That was also an aha moment for me. We also looked at voter rights and voter suppression. What was at stake in the election in 2024? We took a dive into that. We had some really, really, really impactful panel discussions. We had one on pay equity. Makia was the moderator for that one. I don't know if you want to speak to that one, Makia.
It was a fantastic panel, not just because I was the moderator, but because a lot of times we don't shine a light on the fact that women are often left behind in this country. As much as we do, and the fact that we're half of the workforce and we're only receiving 75% of the pay or 80% of the pay, is really egregious. And I was more than happy to be able to moderate that panel and talk about it with a lot of the different women through our network and our organization. And I think that it opened the eyes to a lot of people to just even discuss pay within the workplace. And I think that's where we need to start, is the fact that we need to remove the taboo from talking about our pay. If we don't talk about how much we're making and we don't know that there's a discrepancy there, then that's an injustice. And as a human rights department, that's what we like to say, where there's injustice, you'll find us. And I was thinking about something else that you said earlier, Timia, about how, you know, when you're a caregiver, you have to make the choice between working and getting paid. And I'm like, you know what's also impacted in that whole realm is your mental health. And that's a topic that we discussed a lot on the show too, which is mental health awareness, and making sure that you're taking care of yourself while you're also trying to take care of others, because you can't pour from an empty cup. And I know that we're reflecting, but as a projection for this year, and that's something that I do think that we should look into this year, is to continue to take care of ourselves mentally as well as physically.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And we have so much, that we have accomplished in 2024. I do also want to bring out something that our international president stated in a letter on yesterday that came out, President Claude Cummings. In 2024, we welcome 10,000 new members into the Communication Workers of America. That's extraordinary. And our hats off to everyone that has worked so diligently to sign up new union members. And I don't know if you guys realize, but I think we went to more protests and rallies advocating for labor rights, fair wages, and protections against workplace harassment more than we've ever done before in 2024.
I agree, Errol. I know we participated in several rallies, but one comes to mind of the workers at Maximus that we've talked about quite a bit, and we participated in that, and we talked about that, and we have rallied behind the workers at Maximus quite a bit, and we're still doing so now. And in the projection, I know that we're going to be giving some more updates on the Maximus workers. So that's one thing, but not to shift you too much, Errol, but Makia talked about mental health, and we visited that subject in wellness quite a bit over 2024. And as we're listening to the news and hearing what's going on, I think we're going to be visiting that topic a lot more, because it's not something that ever fully, it never goes away. So we're always looking for resources and ideas and people to come on the show to talk about mental wellness, mental health, and mental awareness. But we actually had a group in our reflection here, the Trevor Project, that came onto our show. And I've been doing a lot of following up on that. And it's a, as we know, it's a suicide hotline that supports the LGBTQIA plus community. And it's very well needed. They do wonderful work, great work with trying to help prevent suicide. One of the things on the website says their a connection starts with knowledge. And we in our human rights department with CWA, we believe that knowledge, if we can give trainings and information and knowledge, that it can really, really help. So that's one of the reflections that that particularly came to mind to me is the Trevor Project, and I can't wait to have them back on our radio show again.
And I would just like to say shout out to Tisha Foreman for making that connection for us. I know Tisha's somewhere in the studio, but thank you to her for introducing us to the Trevor Project and bringing them on the show. Tisha, if you want to come just say hello to the people on air, that'll be great. But we are very grateful to you and everything that you do on the committee. So shout out to you.
That's right. Where's Tisha?
Probably in my office.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Tay. I think Tay had something.
Well, I wanted to say, because Reginald, you were talking about reflection. I want to talk about the projection. So, being that we're talking about mental health, that is something that we want to focus more on in the future, because with everything that we may face, let's not say what we're facing, but we may face, we want to be strong within our minds, because our minds affect our bodies the most. And that's something we also talked about at the conference. I'm not going to get back into the conference, but that is something that was highlighted. Our mind, that's the strongest thing we have. And when we don't have when we don't when we can't when we don't have our mind together, then it affects our body. It affects how we move every day. If I'm not mentally well, then I'm not going to be physically well. I don't even want to get out of bed or anything like that. So I think that's something we need
Right.
to focus on, and we need to have real conversations about, and we need to give resources for, and we also need to let people know that it's okay and that's normal. That's normal.
Correct.
Let's advocate for the people who hide those things. And I always talk about strong friends, but those are the people who sometimes they mentally need someone else, but they're afraid to talk about those things. So as we move forward, With everything that we face, mental health is definitely something that we should discuss more. It's something that we should get a little more training on and just be there a little more for someone who you may not think needs someone. So that's what I'll say about that. So projection in the future, we definitely need to be working on that in 2025. But let's talk about some of the highlights, some of the things that we actually participated in. And one of my favorites, since we're talking about things we've done, was the Poor People's Campaign. Oh, it
Yes,
was hot. It
thank you.
was really hot, but I loved everything about it. I loved being there. I loved being in the presence of so many like-minded people. Like I said, when we
Tay,
talk.
you was reading my mind on that one. I'm sorry, I just had to say it.
Yeah, the Poor People Campaign, that rally was definitely one of my favorites. That was definitely one of my favorites. It was a little warm.
Even out of the rally that was in DC, we got opportunities all over for CWA human rights activists to appear at other events across the country. And that is what we're here for, to make sure that human rights, are talked about. And we are projecting equality and fairness for everyone. So and we're including everyone. And that's why we fight so hard at CWA.
We
And
have to play hard.
of course, when we're looking at reflection and projection, we can't even go any further without talking about gender justice. We've talked about the injustices in gender on this show quite a bit. We have talked about the class, the training that we have within CWA, focusing on gender justice. And it's still in big demand. We're still doing that training. That training is very important. We have a schedule going all the way up to March, I do believe, with that training being on the forefront. And of course, we still have the training, the how to build an anti-racist union training, the implicit bias training. It's another one that is still going forward. It is being highly requested. So that's part of our human rights agenda, and it's going forward this year. And there is one more brand new one that I'm so excited about, which is environmental justice. That's the third training that that will be in our repertoire. And so we have some exciting stuff going on in 2025 that we're bringing over from 2024, just a more improved version, because there is still definitely a need. One of the things, Errol, that in our projection, that when I look back at 2024, we didn't talk about enough, maybe, in my opinion, is the immigration system. And how it's impacting certain people now with the campaign promises and all of that, that we have people now, humans, people, souls, not just something we see on TV, but we have people actually living in fear that they're going to be singled out, and maybe things, we don't know what's going to happen, or they don't know what's going to happen. So we are needing to talk about that more, and a lot of organizations are doing paths to citizenship classes now, especially here in Texas, I'm sure all over. So that's a topic that we need to explore a little bit more to bring some knowledge and shine some light upon.
Yeah, I believe we did have a workshop on immigration at the at our human rights conference, and I believe it was Timmy that introduced us to a great immigration lawyer. So I was so thankful that she brought him to us and brought that to our conference, because that is an important topic. And I think what you said, Reginald, really stuck out to me, is that these are people. These are souls. These are human beings. And a lot of times when we look at any issue, we tend to reduce the human being to a topic or to a category or genre. And that's how we end up in all these silos, and we have all of this disconnect within our communities. So I'm glad that you said that. It is really important to look at people as human beings and as people and as souls. And I think that's one of the things that we discussed recently on the show too, when we talked about gender identity and being called by our preferred pronouns and our names. And that was a super important thing, especially like you said, with a lot of things that goes on in the media and social media. It's super important to remember that we are all actual people. We're all human beings. We all have feelings and hearts and lives and minds. And so just bear in mind, like when you say things and when you put things out in the universe, you don't know how it's going to impact anybody. And I think that as activists, as human rights activists, and as people, we need to work harder on minimizing harm.
Very good point right there. Very good point.
Absolutely. You said a mouthful.
Yes. And then my Kia, we kind of talked about this earlier when we were talking about projecting and reflecting. And that was the issue on well, under gender justice would be the trans community. My Kia, will you expound on that just a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's been a really troubling year for our siblings in the trans community. They were attacked a lot this year, and it broke my heart. To see someone be attacked for just wanting to be who they are or who they believe to be is just it's just disheartening.
Yes.
You know, when we think about the history and the written, and I'm going to be really intentional, the written foundation of this country, right? People are supposed to be able to be free to be and do what they want here. And the fact that there are people that are pointed out for being who they are, it just breaks my heart.
You're absolutely correct. And
I
even this morning,
agree.
go ahead, Reggie.
I'm sorry. I totally agree with that. And it goes back to the humanity piece of it. And if we could not so much worry about the umbrella in which these people, these souls, this flesh and blood, someone's child, this is someone that's under attack. And because it's on the world stage, it's become bigger now. I mean, it's really a tragedy, and we have great work to do. We must stand together with the trans community and actually be a shield for them. I mean, it's them, it's the trans community today. Who knows who it will be tomorrow? And history continues to seem to repeat itself in these matters, and we just have to stand strong with them and be the shield that is needed right now. And we're doing that in CWA. We're definitely doing that. We're actually having open, safe conversations about these subject matters in some of these classes that we're having. And who knew that we were being prepared, because we've been doing these classes for almost 2 years, that we were preparing our members and our communities for such a time as this.
And that's why coalition building is so important and finding your community is so important, right? A lot of times when we're going through things, we feel alone and we don't realize that there could possibly be someone out there that's going through this exact same thing that we're going through, or there's some kind of organization or group of people out there that want to help or want to be a support system. So I know how, you know, a lot of most of the time when we're feeling down or, you know, depressed or we're going through something, we tend to, you know, close ourselves off. And that's why it's so important to find a community that cares about you. It's important to find groups that want to support you, that want to be there for you, and that you can go to when you need that support. And I think a huge part of just mental health and awareness is just looking for the support when you need it and finding those things when you can have them. And so I do know that, you know, we can't promise a lot on this radio show and we can't offer as much as we want to, but we can offer support. And we can offer to help you find a group that's going to be there for you.
And one of the things that I like about the gender justice training, along with the coalition building, we are reaching out to other organizations, or I should say, other organizations are reaching out to us to participate in our gender justice training classes. Just this morning, I was checking the emails because we have been on a push for and scheduling the gender justice classes for the first quarter of 2025. And lo and behold, I looked this morning and I got another email. People are excited about the gender justice training. And I've even had individuals ask, could other organizations come? Could our church pastors and deacons and stuff like that come? And I said, of course they can come. Bring them right on, because the gender justice is so important to all of us, and it will help if you have an open mind. It will help you in whatsoever area you live, organization, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead, Tay.
I just believe that the CWA is leading the way and basically teaching everyone how to celebrate diversity. You know, how to appreciate how we're all different but can come together when we need to. That's the reminder in every class that I get. Every class that I've gone to or every training I've attended, it's about celebrating that we are all different. A room full of people who are different, who can sit down and have real conversations. The gender justice training is such a big one because there's so many people who don't understand certain things and they can't just go out into their communities and talk about these things. But the CWA is letting you know that you have a safe space to talk about these things. And then you connect with people who you can reach out to later on to have these conversations with. And I feel like it's valuable. It's valuable. I appreciate being a part of the CWA, being one of the leaders and facilitators when the trainings. This is something that I truly appreciate because if you've been doing it, then you've grown so much. And the people who attend, they're growing. They're growing.
Absolutely. They
Beautiful.
grow. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Tay, but I just want to piggyback off of what you said. I have not been to a class where I have not had a grown man break down and cry.
Wow.
It is a phenomenal class where people can actually, where you can level the playing field. Nobody in that class is being beat over the head and drug in there. Everybody is there because they want to be there. And we want to let everybody know that. We want, when you come in that classroom, we want everybody to know and to remember that everybody came on their own will and they came because they want to be a better person, a better union member. So when they ask a question, answer them with love. Answer them with
And I'm
love.
I love that. Answer them with love. That just warm, that just made me feel love. That just gave me the warm fuzzies. That was like some hot cocoa with some oat milk right there. Yes, answer with love. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely, because people a lot of times, and I've had people tell me this in the class, they say, I look like a redneck, or I look like they'll give their own term for how people have judged them. And they said, when I ask questions, or I may not have anybody in my circle that I can ask these questions of. And so when they come to the classroom, they're able to ask questions of how to ask somebody, how to address them, or ask these questions about gender. Or ask, you know, just how to be able to be a better person, how to be able to relate to people. And it's not because they don't want to, it's because they don't know how to. And this is something we have to stop doing. We have to stop judging people on their appearances. People are people and people want to be loved genuinely. They want to, we are not solo creatures. We are pack animals.
You're
And
absolutely correct. And go ahead, Reggie. Go ahead.
respected. People want to be respected. And you
Yes.
don't have to fully understand a person to respect them. And that's all that we're trying to do. Respect is so very important. And the sincerity in those classes, it truly, it is amazing. That feeling that you get, it's amazing. People come because they really want to know. They want to know how to be a better citizen, a better coworker, a better church member. They want to, a better family member. They really want to know. And it's amazing. It's been an amazing journey with the gender justice training.
It has
Yes,
been. And I
it
just being
has.
a better family member. Somebody need to tell Reginald to be a better family member because he's sitting over here with some bacon and he ain't
I
offering
know
nobody
it.
nothing.
Didn't offer us no bacon.
But did you
And then
guys see the donuts he had also? I just
listen, he
want
getting that piece with the, you know, that piece of bacon that curl on the end. Well, wasn't even
people,
shared.
people are so particular these days on what they eat and what they don't eat. I didn't want to offer you any bacon.
I ain't never turned down a
Listen,
piece of bacon.
I just want to
you
say
all are
this,
something
and
else.
for the listeners, I do want to say this, that even, this is a radio show, and I know y'all love us, and we love y'all, but you have got some of the best trainers of the gender justice training here on the radio show with Errol Minor, Reginald Small, and Tay Atkins. They are the best. If you ever want to have a class, be in one of their classes.
Oh, you just
Trust me on
touched my
that.
heart this morning. I just don't know what to do.
You.
The classes are phenomenal. I'm telling you, they are phenomenal. And when you are sitting in a class and you're discussing things, and as Timmy has said earlier, when you have a man break down, I had one guy that I was when I was teaching the gender justice class, his son is in the LGBTQIA plus community. And you could tell it was tense in the beginning of the class, but by the time we got to the end, he was like, "Thank you for helping me understand and helping me to respect who my child is." And he said, "I'm still going to love my child regardless."
Amen. That's it. And that's it. And it sometimes it just takes somebody listening to what someone is trying to say and just really just listening. It's not a whole lot of fanfare. If you can just listen to what someone's trying to say, you can understand where they're coming from and not respond in haste, not respond out of hate, but understand that they are just genuinely trying to get an understanding for something that they don't know about.
And I think a huge thing too is that people should look at is the fact that something can be life-changing without you having to change your life. And what I'm saying is, you do not have to go against your beliefs or alter who you feel. You know what?
You know what? Can we put Reginald off the show,
He is
please?
just We just
He.
he is just so low down this
Why would
morning.
you? For the
The
listeners, he has a
studio,
pound cake, a whole pound cake.
I will be so glad when people can see how he cuts up when we start going live later
Now
on
he
the
wants to
show.
look
I am
innocent.
just so
Now he
sick
want
of
to
him.
look
In
innocent.
February, y'all, we're going live sometime in February. So stay tuned, but you guys will see how bad he cuts up.
And I hope he know that he needs to. We'll all be reporting to you live from Austin, Texas this next week.
And I better
And
have
I
a
know
pound
right, we
cake.
will be.
And I know one
Yes, we
thing.
will. And I want some of that thick sliced bacon.
If he decide to roll up there without a whole pound cake, I don't want nobody slice. I don't want nothing that could fit in a Ziploc bag. If you don't have a whole entire cake and a whole entire carrier with a handle on top, like how my grandma used to do, there's gonna be
So smoke on the water,
consequences.
consequences and
I will not be
repercussions.
reducing harm.
And my
But
kid. And
possibly
while he's at
accommodating
it,
one.
wrap up some chicken legs in some aluminum foil and bring it with you too.
With a slice of bread and some hot sauce.
That's it. And it
Sounds
got to
like
be light bread. I don't want no fancy bread. I want light bread and Tabasco.
Go ahead,
But
Tay.
anyway, what I was saying
I just
was,
got an extra bag. That's all. He don't need an extra food bag.
Yeah.
what I was trying to say was that you don't realize that you can change lives without changing your own beliefs. So you don't have to change who you are at your core, or you don't have to change what your morals are to just be a better human being and to be more accepting and welcoming of other people's decisions. And I think that's a huge thing that we try to push in the Human Rights Department, is that you don't have to necessarily change yourself to be more accepting. And I think that I'm working on that because I really want Reginald to change himself so that I can accept him more.
Oh my
I
God, I
am
can't.
definitely, my Kia, a work in progress.
One thing for sure, our union voices are ringing in every district from Alaska to Maine.
I'm just saying,
You guys.
it is the second day of the year. I'm
And he's
trying to
already
be in
cutting
that
up.
gym, okay? I was trying to live righteous. and healthy and well, and then you come through here with donuts, bacon, and pound cake. I just feel like that's like taunting behavior.
Life is about a balance, and I'll end it there.
Especially when some of us are
Oh
on a
my
Daniel
goodness.
fast because we are working on some things in our lives.
But you know what? That's right.
My,
That's
my, my.
wellness. That is mental wellness. Do feed your soul, people. And always, always.
He said that's what killed Daniel.
Oh, miss, I am done with you all. Thank you guys so much for reflecting and projecting. Reflecting on 2024 and projecting for 2025. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Turn up the volume just a little bit louder to hear the Union Buster of the Week with Timia Wiley. She got something to tell you guys.
I have just a little something, and I'm excited because one of my favorite places to shop is Costco. And Costco took a stand. I don't know if y'all noticed, but they took a stand and decided not to do away with DEI. It makes my heart happy. Costco said, no, we're going to stick with what works. We want to be able to push our minorities forward, and we're going to keep it in play. We're going to stay with DEI. That made my heart happy. So I just wanted to put that out there. If you're a Costco shopper, if you're please continue to shop there. If you're not, please consider it. I know Sam's has good rotisserie chickens, but Costco has rotisserie chickens as well. On the flip side of that, though, I do want to ask a personal question. In all of your Christmas shopping this year, were you a Union Buster? Did you take the time to shop at worker friendly places? Did you go online and do some shopping where you could get a necklace for $1.35? Just asking. Just asking. Just asking where you put your money this year. Did you put your money behind an organization that put forward their that pressed forward their workers, that make sure their well-being of their workers, that the money goes to fair wages, proper insurance, well, health and safety, etc. Were you a union buster? That's all I'm asking. You don't have to say it out loud. Just a little reflection. Just a little reflection. I just wanted to ask if you were a union buster or not. Those of you that were, shame, shame, shame. Those of you that were not, pat on the back. And I'm going to end that there. Back to you,
Hey,
Errol.
Timia, one of the things that we have pr been promoting is with Costco, because if I'm not mistaken, Costco is union, right?
No, they are not. And see, that's the beauty
Okay.
there, though. They don't have to be union because they follow union values, which is huge. And that's one thing. Okay, so how much time do we have left?
Go
Do you
ahead,
know
we
you
got
have
you.
30 minutes? No, you got time, girl. Okay, way back when. Union said way back when, let's back up a little bit. Way back when one person could work at like Food Lion or a grocery store or anywhere, you could work one job and you could buy a house, you could pay for your family, your significant other could stay home. You had a one family income. Union set that standard. Well, one thing about Costco is they kept that standard from when unions set that standard. So they have not, while they have not unionized, they have done a great job of uplifting the standards of living of their workers. Now, will we to take them on at CWA? We absolutely will. We will welcome them with open arms, but we stand with the workers. We stand with Costco. Oh, they are Teamsters. They do have some Teamsters locals. Okay, wait a minute. We got Reginald chiming in. Go ahead, Reginald.
This is not my expertise, but I do believe that they are part of the Teamsters Union, at least some of them. I
And
think
some of them,
about
I know in North Carolina.
18,000 of them
Oh, okay. Well, North Carolina, I know
are
they are
now
part.
members of Teamsters.
Okay. Well, I stand
Go.
corrected. And I guess that's the end of our show.
No, that's just. We still got a few seconds left. An hour is not long enough to be with you. The week is too long to be away from you. You have been tuned into the CWA Human Rights Justice Hour Power broadcast. I hope something you heard today has inspired you to take action toward creating positive change in the world. Every person has the power to make a difference, no matter how small. And by working together, we can create a world where human rights are respected and valued. So I encourage each of you in the listening audience to reflect on your role in promoting human rights in to effect change in your communities and beyond. Know that you are not alone in the quest for a more just and equitable world. When faced with injustice, it can be easy to lose hope and give up. But remember, justice may be slow like the truth, but when it finally comes, it will stand. Until next Thursday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time from Austin, Texas, right here on KYOK 1140 a.m. and the all-new 106.5 FM, KYOKradio.org. Happy New Year and see you next Thursday.